I just kept listening to the whispers until they became the shouts that I need to be influencing change from the platform, from the stage.
Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast.
Welcome and thank you so much for joining me here for episode number 5 of the Technology Equals Equality Podcast. Today's episode is a very special episode as I have the opportunity to speak with a gentleman who has been coined the 3-foot giant. When I was 8.5 weeks pregnant with my daughter, I began hemorrhaging, and I was told I was going to have a miscarriage. I remained on bed rest and waited out the 26.5 weeks of pregnancy that I went through. My daughter was born 3 months premature at 1 pound, 15 ounces. We were told that due to the amount of paralytics she was on from the number of different issues she had at the start, she was not going to be able to walk or do very much so for and so on. We didn't listen to the doctors. We did the physical therapy that was necessary and worked with my daughter until now she's 14, straight A student, ice skater, and captain of her cheerleading squad for the second year running. Reality is you shouldn't listen to what other people are telling you you can't do. Decide what it is you're going to do and just do it. My guest today has fared adversity with a smile his whole life through. Sean Stevenson was born with a rare bone disease, which made him extremely fragile at birth, and his parents were told he wouldn't make it. Do you think Sean's parents or Sean ever listened to the doctors? Nope. Instead, Sean found ways to remain in a positive mindset and keep moving forward, and has accomplished more in life than most of the population could ever imagine. Sean has worked as part of Bill Clinton's presidential staff in the White House. He shared the stage with the 15th Dalai Lama and appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show. The Biography Channel even did an entire piece on him, coining him the 3-foot giant. I am very pleased to allow you the opportunity to listen in on my conversation with Sean as I use technology to create equality from the back of my truck on the road. I was in the midst of driving and thought I would make it back before Sean's interview. I didn't, ended up pulling over and using free Wi-Fi and still pulled it off, luckily. So here we go with my interview with Sean Stevenson.
Hi.
Hello. Are you in a
How
car?
How are you? I'm actually on the road at the moment, heading back from Chris Ducker's launch party yesterday. So I was driving from New York to Boston, but I wasn't going to miss our interview. I was thankful that you had the time.
My pleasure. Yeah, you almost look like you're flying an airplane with that headset. I'm like, are you clear for takeoff or where are we?
Normally, I don't do video interviews. Normally, I only do audio, but I'm so pleased that I'm getting a chance to actually sit here and speak to you.
Likewise.
I feel honored right now. So
let's do this.
Excellent. As I mentioned in the name of the show, Technology Equals Equality. So the show is designed to allow people to hear the journey, find the pain, and then create a solution. So what I'd like to do is for our listeners to go ahead and have the opportunity to get to know a little bit about you, Sean, because you are probably the most inspirational person I've ever even had the opportunity to speak to. So thank you again for this
morning.
You're
welcome. Well, don't buy all the hype. I have bad days.
We all do. So, you know, you're human. That's expected. So we are curious. Prior to your decision to go ahead and brand yourself and become a motivational speaker, one of the best out there, by the way, I'd love to know what it is that you saw as your future before you began branding yourself.
Well, growing up, I wanted to be a politician. And I wanted to go into government, and I wanted to run for office. And I worked in the political sector for a few years. I worked for Bill Clinton in the White House. I worked for a congressman on the Hill. I worked for state and local officials. And, you know, I loved the things that I learned, and it was a wonderful experience. But what I really liked was being an influence to change. You know, I don't believe that as a speaker we change people. I don't. I think that's very much the ego wanting to believe that we have control over another human being. We barely have control over ourselves most days.
Right.
And so to believe that we can control another is ridiculous. And so I found that while we might not be able to change another person, we can influence change. We can create opportunities. We can create options. We can create incentives and consequences. There's lots of ways that we can influence change. So I left the political sector and went on a journey to find what I was supposed to be doing, and it really came down to what kept knocking at my door. You know, in the field of personal growth, there's a split down the middle. One group of people believes that you have to be very clear in exactly what you want and go after it and don't let anything stop you. And then there's another side that says you need to listen to the universe and listen to the messages that are coming to you and co-create your experience with a greater power. And, you know, it depends on the day which camp I'm in. Some days I go after my destiny, and some days I believe that certain things are fate, you know, and I don't have the answer. I do know, though, that I just kept listening to the whispers until they became the shouts that I need to be influencing change from the platform, from the stage. And that platform is transformed. I mean, I'm on the platform right now, and yet I'm sitting in my office. And that's the neat thing about technology. I mean, your platform is not just in an auditorium anymore.
Just to go back to what you were saying in the beginning, motivation comes from so many different places. And I think personal motivation, as I've heard you speak of many times, you know, it's that personal mindset that really, really, really makes a difference in terms of you being able to take off or move forward. If you don't have that personal mindset that you're capable, that you're going to go somewhere, it can really halt and stagger a person's ability to move forward in life, never mind business in and of itself. So, Sean, how did you go about fighting past that? How did you create that mindset for yourself to be able to move forward, to keep that, you know, there's a course that we are actually developing at the moment, and one of our first lectures is entitled PRISM, Perceived Reality Inspires Successful Minds. And what I'm attempting to do in this lecture is really assist people in creating a method of their own to keep their mindset in a positive state, to keep themselves motivated to move forward in business. As an entrepreneur, I found that to be one of the hardest parts, you know, because it is such an up and down road. You hit one minute, you know, where you're at this absolute high, such as right now for me, having the opportunity to interview you, you know, and then the next minute you're dealing with technology that doesn't want to work for you. Or, you know, there was an interview that I conducted a couple of weeks ago and my Skype recording program just didn't want to work. Would not come on during the interview. Of course, I improvised and we still pulled it off and it wasn't a big deal. But every now and then you can have these moments that really pull you down. So how is it that you found the ability to create your own, you know, PRISM program, if you want to call it that?
Well, it's a day-to-day thing. Mm-hmm. You don't arrive. I wish you did. It'd be a lot easier. But it's a day-to-day. I mean, the way I look at it is you can't let the external events in the world, be that successful opportunity that rises that makes you a bunch of money or increases your visibility, or a negative experience, meaning, you know, a technology fail or losing a client or losing a family member to death, whatever it may be, external. You can't let the external world dictate how you're going to feel. And yes, it certainly influences it, no doubt. But you have to have your internal world be set in a way that you determine whether you have a good day, not the external world. And the way I look at it is I have a list. And I can't stress this enough to you, my friend, that you have to have this list. And this list is called your When Life Works list. And it's a series of activities, action items that are simple, that you have to choose from every day. I have 16 things on my list. It's over on my wall over there. And they are as simple as hydrating, exercising, grooming, Hanging out with my mentors, spending time with my wife, being around children like my niece and nephew, learning new resources in business, having at least one meal a day that's all vegetables, keep your space clean and organized. I mean, there's about 16 things on this list, and I only need to do four of them a day. And they could be different ones each day, but if I do four of the 16, my insecurities, my doubts, my fears, my excuses, they don't have control over me because I took care of my internal world. And so if things go awry in my external world, it doesn't rock me off my center. It's like I have that servo mechanism that brings me right back to where I need to be. And that's different than doing your when life sucks list. And your when life sucks list is, for me, it's staying up too late. It's eating garbagey food. It's mindlessly surfing my Facebook news feed. It's watching, the Kardashian show. I mean, that crap is all, my when life sucks list. When I do it, it's like popcorn and it's tasty, and I'm, but it just leaves me with a mess and feeling like garbage. And
Right.
so it doesn't matter what happens to you externally, it's how you take care of your internal world. And so I see that even when things go right in my life, and meaning when things go the way I want. But if I didn't do my when life works list, I end up bitching and complaining. It's like somebody will come to me and they'll say, we only have $10,000 for this speaking engagement for you. And I'm like, ugh, I'm a $15,000 or $20,000 speaker. And it's like, dude, somebody just offered you 10 grand. Like, come on.
Right.
But it's because I didn't take care of myself that day. Whereas if I did my when life works list, something bad could happen, something that I didn't want to have happen, like having a webinar with 250 people on it from around the world, which I recently had, and it crashed, and I couldn't get back on my own webinar. But
Right.
when I do my When Life Works list, I'm like, okay, this isn't fun, this isn't what I want, but it doesn't ruin me that day. And
Right.
that's the thing, you have to take care of yourself internally through action items of when your life works and you're doing these things. That way you dictate to the world, no, I'm in control of my day, not you.
Right. No, definitely. And that's actually part of the lecture is, that phrase that we all use so often and never really apply it realistically as to what it is we're referring to, the phrase of someone has woken up on the wrong side of the bed. If you wake up there, it carries you through the day. However, if you pay attention to the way that you start your day, it again carries through the day in a positive manner if you so choose.
Yeah, and if I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, I just start loading up these activities that I will hit the shower, I will clean shave myself, I will go exercise, I will have a vegetarian meal, I'll do whatever to like add up all the positive, reinforcing, recharging activities, and then it turns that around. But most people, they wake up on the wrong side of the bed and they do their one life sucks list. And then they wonder why it never turned around for them that day.
Right, exactly. So, as mentioned, I feel that mindset is one of the hardest parts to get through. But did you find that that was one of the hardest parts in terms of branding yourself and becoming an entrepreneur? And if not, what was it that you did find to be one of the hardest parts? And how did you, overcome that difficulty?
I'm still overcoming it, I want to take myself off of any pedestal people might put me on and say, as an entrepreneur, I'm still learning and growing and making mistakes. And yeah, the amount I can charge and the amount I make might be better, but we never want to see that as like, he worked through his obstacles. It's not that. I challenge the question by saying, it's not about breaking through. It's about building up the muscles to break through every day. And that's, I'm, my adversity muscles are much stronger today than they were 10 years ago, than they were 29 years ago. You know what I mean? Like every year I get older and hopefully wiser through learning from experience. I build up the muscle to break through those obstacles. The obstacles never go away. The negative mindset can creep up if I don't take care of myself. And so I do think it's a lot of psychology. You know, I was talking to a buddy and we were talking about what's the percent of in business or in sports or in anything, what is it psychological versus actually tactical, you know, strategic? And we all agree it's at least 80% or more mental. And that's because the mind is so powerful, and when it's directed for an intent that inspires us, we're unstoppable. When it's directed for an intent to belittle us, it's unstoppable and it destroys us. And that's why we have to be preventative to those negative places. I think people look at me and they say, Sean worked through his adversity and now he is confident and strong and cannot be stopped. And where they're off about that is I can have a period of time in the day or in a week or in a month or in a year where I get very emotional. You know, I'm very emo and I'll be down about myself and I'll just say, gosh, why can't I get my business where I want it to be? Or why is this frustrating me in my relationship? Or why am I struggling to get into the gym? I like to work out. Why aren't I going to work out and dealing with the self-sabotage? And I'm always leery of people who act like they're enlightened. You know, people who act like, you know, God bless Eckhart Tolle, but I think he's full of shit. You know, I think that, you know, he's either, you know, delusional or so far out of reality, nobody can really relate to him. Because I don't know about you, I have days where I'm a crabby asshole, and you don't want to be around me. I may not show it, but to you, unless you were really close to me. But I still go through it. You know, Mindy, my wife, she could speak to the fact that I'm a construction zone. You know, I'm constantly a work in progress. You know, I know tons of things about diet and exercise. Does that mean I'm doing anything about it? Some days, you know, you can intellectually know something. And this is one of my mentors, Eben Pagan. He says that, and he's quoting somebody else, I think, that learning doesn't happen until a behavior is changed. And as long as you're repeating a behavior and not changing the behavior, then you haven't learned
Haven't learned anything.
the knowledge. You haven't absorbed it. You haven't assimilated it. You haven't applied it. And that's tough because there's certain things in my life that I have learned. I have learned that I am responsible for how I feel. So no matter how much I bitch and complain that external world is sucks, I know at my core that it's my choice to be that way. I know at my core, but that has taken changing my behavior over and over and over. I mean, I got a tattoo on my wrist that says C is greater than E, and that stands that for cause is greater than the effect. And that means that we are stronger being at the cause and saying, I am responsible for this. Even if it looks like I'm not, some way, somehow, I can get to the root of this. And as opposed to the effect, like I'm out of control here, I have no say, there's nothing I can do. I mean, imagine if no one ever lived at cause. We would not have advances in technology. We would not have advances in humanitarian efforts. You and I would not be able to be friends and talk right now because of our skin color if we as a human race didn't evolve in our perceptions of each other. And so I'm a big believer that you have to be at cause for how you feel. You are only at cause for yourself. I can't, no matter how much I try, I can't change how you feel about me, but I can change the way I feel about you, which could then influence the way you feel about me. And so, you know, these types of things, getting the tattoo, have all helped me to change my behavior. And, you know, if you really want to take your life to the next level, go write a book about self-sabotage, because the world will knock on your door and tell you, hey, in chapter two, you said, and they're right.
Thank They are right. No, I agree 100%. Sean, what is it that you would caution first-time entrepreneurs or, you know, those looking to venture into the entrepreneurial world on, in terms of their own mindset and in terms of how it is they should begin formulating their own processes, you know, to begin keeping that mindset, to help themselves move forward? I know that you mentioned you have your list of 16. You know, like I said, in our course, we discuss different things, such as music and you know, your favorite YouTube clips or things of that sort that you can use to just kind of motivate yourself. Most of the time, I use YouTube clips of you, Sean. Just as an FYI, I love your dance video.
Thank you.
I happen to dance often, because that's what it takes. Sometimes you really need to find that personal motivation for yourself. But what is it that you think, you know, prospective entrepreneurs should take into consideration, prior to taking the leap?
Well, don't borrow a ton of money in the beginning unless you feel comfortable with that, because I see a lot of people think that if I just get a bunch of borrowed money, whether it be credit cards or venture capitalists or, you know, family and friends giving you money, when you have to build something under the pressure of it failing, putting you deeper into debt. That's a lot, you know, and some mindsets can handle it. That's why I said it. Some people can handle that. You know, people that are willing to be leveraged to the hilt and they just bounce higher from that, then great. But I think the average person really struggles with having to go tremendously in debt. So I'm grateful for the fact that in my 17 years of being an entrepreneur, the most debt I've ever been in is probably 10 or 15,000 bucks. And you know, I've seen people prove me wrong. I've seen people borrow, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and make millions, and that's awesome. But their personality was set up to do that. Some people's personality, that is just too much anguish on their physical body. So I would say, listen to your body. If your body is such that that amount of pressure causes detrimental things, do not do that to yourself. If you're better growing slow and steady and keeping your health and your sanity than trying to explode quickly, that could then go one way or the other. Now that's me, a 35-year-old man who's married as a dog and talking about maybe having kids. You know, that's not what I might have said at 21 or 25, and it may not be what I say at 45. So who knows? But where I'm at right now, I would caution people from taking huge amounts of debt to grow their business. The second thing that I would caution people and tell them to consider is doing something that you're really not cut out to do. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are the outliers. There are the, I don't know if you follow basketball at all, but there are the Muggsy Bogues and the Spud Webbs who are, you know, hovering around 5 feet tall that make it into the NBA. But man, that's one of bazillion. Don't join the NBA if you're 3 feet tall and think, you know, not join, but don't try out for the NBA if you're 3 feet tall, because that's just probably not going to end well. You know, if you are somebody who you're like, this kind of goes back to the borrowing money thing. If your personality type is such that you can't handle loads of stress, don't go start a hedge fund. You know, like don't go into that. But if you're also somebody that is, you know, passion driven and excitement and you need lots of physical stimulus, maybe don't try to open up a yoga retreat center and try to be all namaste when you really want to be Mr. Crazy, right? And be and on the edge. So listen to your personality type based on how you develop your career. Another thing that I would say is don't align with somebody who proclaims to be able to make you. And, you know, I know you're in the management business, so maybe this is gonna rub you wrong, I don't know, but I can tell you that not even you with your clients, no agent management consultant ever swoops in like an angel with giant wings, caw-caw, you know, and scoops up the person and says, "I'm gonna make you, sweetie, and you're gonna be a star." And you know, and I love Scooter Braun. He's a good friend of mine, and you know, he found Justin Bieber. But really, Justin works his ass off, and you know, granted, he's in a weird space right now, maybe, but he has built an empire, and it's because he works his ass off, not because Scooter Braun found him. Somebody else would have come across him if he kept moving forward with his talent and his dedication. And so no one saves you. No one comes in and swoops you up and says, you know, I'm going to make sure, even your partner, even your spouse, they might be a good cheerleader. They may be a good resource for you, a good friend, but nobody's going to build your career but you. And yes, you can get partners involved and they're going to build their share, but never be disappointed with the fact that people are self-driven. It's in our brain to say, what's in it for me? And if you're aware of that, then you keep the ego in check. When you act like somebody else is going to save you, then now you're on the effect side of the equation. And I've done this where I thought, oh, the publicist is going to make me. No, this literary agent's going to make me. No, this speaking booking talent is going to make me. No, this marketing expert, this sales expert. No, this. And none of them made me. They influenced me. They taught me. They brought me resources. But at the end of the day, I had to do the heavy lifting.
No, definitely. And I kind of want to bring that a little bit back to what you were saying in the beginning for my listeners, because I think it's really key for people to understand that one of the biggest things is to keep moving forward. It really is. And Sean, I don't want to take up too much of your time this morning, so we are going to
Okay.
wrap it up. But just for my very last question of this afternoon, if you had a magic wand as a motivational speaker, and could change anything at all in your business. Because this show is designed to assist entrepreneurs with finding the pain in an industry and creating a solution for that pain, what is it that you would change with that magic wand and why? We want to know how that pain impacts your business, for you on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I just recently went through that and I'm still working on it, so it's very relevant. I get about, and I'm not trying to exaggerate for drama purposes, but I get hundreds of emails a week. And I'm not talking from like Viagra commercials. I mean legit emails from people that are going through pain in their life and want my support. And, you know, some are customers, some are not customers. And we treat them equally because we know that they're of value on this planet. But when you have hundreds of emails coming in and many of them are intense, it can be overwhelming to not get back to them all. And, you know, as one person, I literally could wake up in the morning, start responding to emails until I go to bed, and do that every day and still not keep up. And so I had to bring on people that just handle my emails. And it's not to say I don't read my own emails anymore. It's just to say they're filtered and I handle the emails that need my direct attention. Some are just like, "Hey, where do I get your book?" And my assistant can write back and say Amazon.com, and then that's the end of the conversation. And others are much more extreme and complicated that only I can respond to. And so the pain for me was, how do I handle email? Because I felt inauthentic having people read my email that weren't me. And what I had to do is groom a person for the last 7 months to understand the way I think and act. And they don't respond as me. I don't like that. They never write back and say, "Hey, this. Just do this. Sign Sean." No, that's not how we do it. They write back and say, you know, "Sean sees all of his email," and I do. Sean sees all of his email, but he has asked me to get you what you need. My name is Laura, and da 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 da. And so what that's allowed me to do is take the guilt out of my email, because it would get to the point where email was so heavy and cumbersome that I couldn't handle anymore. And then I became embarrassed by how far behind I was that I wouldn't even go to my computer some days a couple of years ago. And now we are turning that around. And but I know that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with the amount of communication that they have to keep up with.
No, definitely. And I think email filtering is a huge thing. So the fact that you've been able to add an assistant, or even a virtual assistant in order to assist with that is huge. That's kind of what we were going to last night, the Virtual Freedom book launch for Chris Ducker. It was precisely that. That's what Chris is doing, is assisting people with finding their own virtual assistants to alleviate that issue. So Sean, thank you so much for your time this morning. I
Well,
do appreciate your sharing your time and so much expertise and advice with our audience here. Please share the best way that my audience can find you.
I just website johnstevenson.com. That's SEANSTEPHENSON.com.
Excellent, Sean. Thank you again.
Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for your time.
Sean, thank you again for joining us and for sharing your time and expertise with the community and techie community. Thank you for hanging out with us for episode number 5. I hope you really heard what Sean was saying. Don't let the external world dictate how you feel. You have to have control over your mindset. If you don't, who will? And don't forget to reach out to Sean Stevenson at seanstevenson.com. You can always reach him through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/SeanStevenson. And we are continuing into the month of February 2018, and the podcast challenge is well underway. I want for you guys to send me your why it is you do what you do. Top 3 reasons as to why you are doing what you do will receive a very special shout out during an upcoming episode, as well as a gift mailed direct to you. So be sure to enter into the podcast challenge. You can go to technology-equality.com/podcast challenge, or you can always send us an email or leave a voicemail or even send us some snail mail over to the P.O. box. All of the directions are included on the Techie Podcast Challenge page, so head on over there now. Again, that's technology-equality.com/podcast challenge. Thank you once again, everyone, and until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. Enjoy the week.